That's what's coming out. And it's not acceptable.
All right, Buccaneers fans, the Sages podcast is here, better known as the Ira Kaufman podcast. He's the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the water damage whisperer.
A little baked potato, corn on the cob.
Well, I think we've got a good one here for you today. And as you know, Bill Curry Ford presents all of Ira's work at joebucksfan.com. Give them a standing ovation. Bill Curry Ford, a Tampa tradition, a Tampa legend since 1960, third generation, family owned. We'll talk more about them later. And Florida's Elite Restoration, you have got to know about them now, not later. They are who you can count on to handle every step of the restoration process if you have a disaster at your home. Fire, flood, mold, storm damage, and any kind of water damage. Call them first before you call your insurance company. They'll give you a free inspection of your property with the best technology, and they'll let you know what it takes to restore your property, an honest assessment. That's why they have 5-star Google reviews across the board. Owner Josh Martin, consider him your friend. He is fantastic. He and his team have decades of experience as insurance adjusters. They know the other side of the business to make sure when they're fighting for you that you're going to get every nickel that you can. And their work is fantastic to get your property back to where it needs to be. They're a one-stop shop. Your next step is to go to floridaselite restoration.com. floridaselite restoration.com. Learn what they're all about. Put them in your disaster plan. And there it is. And when you call them, if you need them, mention Ira or joebucksfan.com. You'll get $500 back after your free inspection if you need their services. They cover the entire Tampa Bay area and beyond. floridaselite restoration.com. I'm Steve Isbitz of joebucksfan.com. Lee DeCamper of joebucksfan.com is not here, but the mighty sage of Tampa Bay sports, Ira Kaufman, a man in his 50th year covering all things sports and nearly that many years covering the National Football League and 40-plus on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers specifically. Ira's here. Good morning, Ira. How are you on this Saturday?
The heat, Steve. The heat. You can feel it now. There's a heat index warning. After we finish with this show, I'm going under the covers. I'm cranking up the AC.
Under the covers and cranking up the AC. There you go. You live an exciting life.
I cannot sweat when I sleep, Steve. I will not sweat. I'm not a guy in a tent. I'm not going out on a tent.
You're one of these cool pillow guys, right? You like the cool pillow.
Nice and cool.
You know, let's start with a little bit of, we'll call it breaking news. Jason Light. This week was on the Sports Day Tampa Bay podcast, and he said that Bucky Irving, if we had to play a game in a couple of weeks, he'd be ready to go. And that Bucky's fine, and he basically threw cold water and said that Todd Bowles was misinterpreted when Bowles said Irving will be ready sometime this summer or the fall. So that's great news, but what do you think of that?
Sounds like cleanup 101. I trust Bowles that what he said is accurate. Look. If he misses half a training camp, so be it. I just want him ready for Cincinnati. I don't want to put all the eggs in Gainwell's basket. He's not a big guy. He's not a guy that you give 27 carries to. I think Irving's the engine for this offense. At least he certainly was in 24. I think this could be a ground-oriented team where Mayfield's throwing 31 passes instead of 41 passes. I think Bowles would like that. That only works if your defense is a lot better because, you know, you're probably not going to score 35 points, but you might control the line of scrimmage, control the clock, control possession, and field position. So I still think Irving's a key figure here. And I hope Light's right. I hope Light's right. But we've heard things about Irving before that turned out to be underestimated, low-key, and he was hurt more than was given credit for. So I want to see him in training camp, Steve. If I don't see him midway through training camp, there's a problem.
It's interesting that you mentioned that about Gainwell, Ira, and I don't doubt that Bucky's healthy, but you got to take it with a grain of salt to a degree. Light is basically still acknowledging he is not ready to go yet, and if a guy still has more rehab to be ready, you got to wait and see, and we dealt with some of that last year. But you mentioned Gainwell. He's not a 27-carry a week guy. Last year, he only had 10 or more carries 3 times. So very much a spot back in Pittsburgh. A lot of people think, oh, yeah, he had some good numbers, and he's been compared to Bucky Irving, and you watch the film, and he looks like Bucky Irving on the field. But this guy has never shouldered the load. He carried 19 times for 99 yards in week 4. That was his big game last year. 2 touchdowns for Pittsburgh and a win. He comes back the next week, Ira, and I'll go in order of weeks. 6 carries, 3 carries, 5 carries, 3 carries, 0 carries.
And Steve, given those minimal opportunities, his production's kind of startling because he had a lot of yards from scrimmage when you add in his receptions. A lot of yards from scrimmage.
It's just a shade over 1,000. Looks like 1,023 yards, half of them through the air, so even split. But he's not an every down back that he's proven. Maybe he can get there, but Bucky is that guy for them. And I'm just glad that he's trending in the right direction because we could have heard otherwise. It doesn't seem like a Benjamin Morrison situation.
They still got Tucker, Steve, who's been up and down, Steve. I don't think his yards per carry was exceptional last season. But, you know, he scored 8 touchdowns, and he did lead the team in touchdowns. So, you know, in a pinch, Tucker would do it in a pinch.
So, Sage, on the same podcast, we had Todd Bowles making some comments, and he went all over the map. We're going to get to some of the more disturbing ones later, but I don't need to get into disturbing right away. You know, we can lead into that. One thing that was interesting was Bowles going over the top, gushing about Reuben Bain. Now, Sage, Bowles, anybody who's listened to WDAE or paid attention to Bucks news conferences on YouTube, they've seen Todd Bowles say over and over and over this spring, T-shirts and shorts. I'm not
judging a guy.
Yeah, I'm not evaluating. I'm not, you know, making judgments now. Okay, T-shirts and shorts. We got it, Todd. That's the rules. Even if the Bucks broke them, and we'll get to that.
And we understand that, you know, that stance. We understand that kind of stance. You don't want to put too much pressure on.
Well, you also don't want to gloss anybody up, and you're trying to have a mentally tougher team this year. I guess they're not looking to jack up players in the same way. Okay. So, speaking of Reuben Bain, he says, I'm extremely grateful just seeing him in person. There's size, there's length, and there's speed, and there's everything else. And you look at how the guy rushes the passer. Meanwhile, where has he rushed the passer in the NFL? But Bowles goes on and says, he's never down the middle. He's always on the edge. He never wastes steps. He always uses his hands. He understands leverage. He knows when to swim. He knows when to knock him down, when to fight the offensive lineman's hands. And he's a workhorse. He's more of a football player than I thought. He's bright. He's picked up the system very well. He runs pass rush games very well. You can see the possibilities. That's quite a departure from not praising players in T-shirts and shorts.
Here's my reaction to that, Steve. OTA tally, Bain 22, blocking sled 1. Okay, I get that. It ain't training camp with pads on. You know, we'll see what Bowles is saying after that. Steve, you've heard me before. I'm sticking to it. Don't put so much pressure on this kid. Don't do that. I mean, he looks like an exceptional prospect, but that's what he is. He's a prospect. And I don't want to hear about swim moves and power and angles, and he's got a Von Miller, you know, bone to his body, the way he twists his leverage. Let me hear that August 22nd after I've seen this guy in pads.
Bowles may have given a bit of a tip-off, because he did talk there, like I just mentioned. I was running through it in a Bowles style, but he said he's always on the edge. Now, a lot of fans have talked about him rushing inside Bain, and Bowles said he's always on the edge, never waste steps. I think what he means by that is that he's always able to get that edge. Like, he wins the edge as far as, you know, just being stoned by an offensive lineman. And he talked about his quickness and saying that he and Kalijah Kancey on the same side of the line, Bowles said they can do a lot of great things because they get off the ball so well.
See, I'm not sure which side he's going to play.
No,
Steve.
No, nobody knows.
If he's next to Kancey, I would think he's coming off the right edge, but I don't know. I think he could replace Reddick coming off the left edge and leave Diaby on the right side. Why switch Diaby?
It's very hard to say because Diaby's played a lot on the right side, and guys generally like to stay on one side so they can not only dissect the tackle in front of them, like, okay, he was doing this in the first two series, now I got him here. They don't want to move around too much, but it's hard to say exactly where Bain may be better. I don't know, but it's exciting.
It's Steve, if he's coming off the left edge, Steve, let's put it like this. It's a low bar for improvement. It's a low bar.
Very low.
Reddick's still looking for a job. Well, what does that tell you? Here we are. We're almost in August.
Joe Tryon-Shoyinka retired.
Almost in July, I'm sorry.
He retired. Joe Tryon-Shoyinka.
He retired?
Yeah, from the Eagles. The Eagles signed him this offseason, and then they put him on the reserve retired list. There's not a lot of information there. I don't want to speculate, but on the surface, it just looks like, well, maybe he decided he just doesn't love football enough. Kind of like a Josh Freeman situation where, you know, I'm just not that into playing anymore.
Again, you know, it goes right to what Light has told us. Most mistakes are made from the head up. You know, he's got physical skills. He always has. He's quick for his size, Steve, but not one of Jason Light's finest draft hours. Certainly. Certainly not.
No, and of course, that was the 2021 first-round pick. Good riddance, a lot of fans said last year. He bounced from the Browns to the Bears in the same year. Now with the Eagles, and now
he's
the
quintessential guy, Steve, what Bowles used to say. Well, he's right around the quarterback, but he can't finish. He can't finish. That was the problem, Steve. Couldn't finish.
So regardless, Bain looked fantastic.
Sort of like what my wife says to me.
Hey.
Ooh.
Well, you got Saturday night coming up. We're just hours away. Hours away. Bain looked fantastic in all the spring workouts. Quick, energetic, stayed healthy. You know,
he's healthy.
And that's number one. You know, he didn't come up with some sort of he tweaked a calf or
He looks serious, though, Steve, right?
Yeah.
He looks like a serious man.
He's just what they need if he's as advertised. He's exactly what this team needs. Now, Ira, Buccaneers assistant GM Mike Greenberg, who's been with the team for 16 years.
And who's being touted as a top flight general manager candidate going forward.
It's interesting because he's not a football guy. His first year here, they hired him. They wanted him in for his acumen, his financial knowledge, but he also was hired as a scout. He was doing some scouting. And so he did spend a year doing that, but he's been out of that
for I think he's in a perfect spot
long
right
time.
Now.
But he's a young guy. I don't think he turned 40 yet.
Yeah, he's young.
But anyway, not talking about his chatter for him as a head coach candidate.
General manager.
Hey, maybe he could coach the Bucs. You never know. Right. General manager candidate. Greenberg is a very close friend of Rondé Barber, and he was on the Rondé Barber show this week.
We got another Rondé episode.
Another Rondé episode. And Greenberg was asked about the Bucs losing a practice, and he was crazy candid, Ira. Crazy candid.
Is he upset about it? They think the league screwed
no,
up?
No. Here's the thing. He said, look, we had great energy this offseason. For fans who don't realize, the Bucs lost an OTA practice because the league reviewed film of earlier practices and
too many players on the ground.
Just decided there was contact more than incidental, and you can't do that. So you lose a practice, which is not the biggest deal in the world because some teams cancel practices anyway.
Don't these league officials have something better to do?
Than
looking at Kalijah Kancey in June?
Here's the admission from Greenberg. He said that the league, quote, he explained it. He said that the league really, they ask for practice tape randomly from teams from time to time. He said they'll get through everyone. Sometimes they'll go through teams twice. And they picked a day. Greenberg said, if we're being honest, we did have contact and we did deserve to lose an OTA practice. But with that, we did get a lot of good work in. So
he's probably proud of it, Steve. He's proud of it.
I think to a degree that he was good with it. But the thing is that he admitted that the league is only watching one practice in a spring, maybe two. And so if you're an NFL team that has 10 practices scheduled, maybe you take your chances. Because if you lose one,
yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, yeah.
And you go a little over the line.
So the Bucs got caught in that one.
So the Bucs got caught. And Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, made a big deal of this, saying, hey, if the league really cares about too much contact, wouldn't they just hire somebody to look at all the practice film? You know, have some interns review it and then have a process, you know? So the league is basically saying, well, you can't hit anybody, but we'll only look 10% of the time.
Haphazard.
Yeah.
Haphazard.
You know, it's like checking for nuclear weapons overseas or something. Do it once in a while.
I got a feeling Greenberg, Light, and Bowles are proud of losing that practice. I don't think they lost any sleep about
it. No, I think they laughed about it. And, you know, Tristan Wirfs did a little sit-down with your friend Eileen Natchuk of WFLA this past week. And, of course, the players loved it. We got a day out of the heat, you know, meeting room day, air conditioning day, extra practice gone.
Wirfs looking healthy. That's big.
Wirfs looks great. You know, we've seen the pictures on social media, but he's healthy. They're all healthy. Wirfs gave an admission during that sit-down with Eileen that we're going to talk about. Hey, quick break. Thanks for listening. Please subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you're listening. Or if you're listening right at joebucksfan.com like thousands do, that's really cool. We appreciate that. We do have another podcast coming. I was supposed to have a second one last weekend, but you don't need the whole story. We've got some good takes. I'm hoping to get that up on Sunday night. All right, back to the Sage. We've got so much to get to. Todd Bowles, controversial comments. I'm almost afraid to speak them on radio here, Ira. but they're coming. Bill Curry Ford presents this show. Bill Curry Ford, a Tampa tradition, an icon since 1960. At one time, they were the only Tampa Ford dealership. Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. 2026 Ford Bronco Big Ben lease for $399 a month. All those details at BillCurryFord.com. So many other great offers going on, Sage.
I know they were an icon before I was an icon, Steve.
That's true, and that's not easy to do. And, of course, you drive your 2020 Cherry Red Ford Escape. I've got a used vehicle from Bill Curry Ford. Sean Sullivan, the general manager of Bill Curry Ford, he's got the Ira Kaufman or Joe Bucks fan discount for everybody. You can find him at BillCurryFord.com. Send him a direct message or just head over there. They're the largest dealership, soup to nuts, in the Bay Area. You'd be blown away. They give tours. That's how big they are, Ira. Sage, you're big, too, so we need your feedback on this. Tristan Wirfs, when he was talking to Eileen Natchik of Channel 8, told her that the offensive line, the starting line, and he implied the whole O-line, but the starters have been there every single voluntary practice, even the workouts, the early conditioning days since April at $1. 100% attendance all the way through. They're all healthy, and Wirfs is just, nobody wants to say it, but everybody at $1 believes that the patchwork nature of the offensive line from day one last season really tore the season apart.
If you're a Buck fan, Steve, you couldn't ask for better news. The O-line is the engine that drives this offense. Now, Steve, as much flack as Josh Grizzard took last year from dropping from 29.5 points to, 21 points,
22 points.
That's a touchdown a game. That's a losing edge right there. He doesn't deserve all the blame. Not all the blame. Because, as you mentioned, the starting five offensive linemen, they never took a snap together, right, Steve?
Never.
They never took a snap together. And, you know, Baker Mayfield called this the number one offensive line in football when healthy. Number one. I don't know if I'd go that far, Steve, but I think they're top three, top five. And that is enough to get the job done with this offense. There's weapons with Bucky Irving, without Bucky Irving. They have enough firepower, arsenal. This is a very hungry unit, Steve. It's a very tight, cohesive unit. Malk is back to provide that physicality up front that they need. I think Wirfs being healthy is huge, Steve. Huge. And I wish on third and short they just run behind Wirfs. Well, you know, put your trust in Wirfs. He's going to get the job done. Wirfs is looking great, Steve, out there, healthy. That's a big reason for optimism for the 2026 Bucks. A healthy offensive line going to go a long, long way.
And it's probably one of the biggest reasons why the Bucks should and have to almost get off to a fast start. With that offensive line, everyone's in his prime. Everybody's 28 and younger. There are no excuses. They're all seasoned. They've played in this kind of scheme before because it's very similar to what Cohen was using 2 years ago. And, of course, Josh Grizzard last year had a lot of those concepts in. There's no continuity excuse. There's no change in offensive line coach. You got five studs in their prime. Go out there and dominate early. There's no learning curve here. And it's just a huge component to the season because, you know, we've chatted about what if the Bucks go 2-3, you know, lose on the road and only win 2 out of 3 at home and then go to Dallas on Thursday night short week and be 2-3. If you're going to be a good team, that's just not acceptable with what you have available on offense early in the season.
And, Steve, if you have Bredesen and Malk, now look, they don't have to play 17 games apiece. If they play 15 games apiece, for the most part, I'm looking for Barton to step up with familiar guys on either side of him. At times last year, I thought Barton was overwhelmed. But maybe part of that was trying to do too much because he's got Feeney and Michael Jordan next to him. I'm looking for Barton to step it up and play like a first-round pick again.
So, Sage, Todd Bowles, the comments that I've been
Steve,
teasing
you've here been teasing this the whole
was just so stunning. He got on there this week.
He's been very low-key at the podium, Steve. He hasn't said anything.
No, he hasn't said anything, but he was out there this week, and, Sage, he's asked about the season on the podcast, like we talked about. And he says, if we can prepare and we can execute and we don't look at the names on people's helmets and we can play the same every week and learn how to finish off games and close games out, instead of getting a lead and just taking plays off or not having a lead and having to come back late. So, again,
he just slipped that line in, Steve. Just slipped it in.
If we could play the same every week and learn how to finish games and close games out instead of getting a lead and just taking plays off. Is that the coach admitting that they took plays off? That's what it sounds like to me, because that those words don't flow easily, Ira.
Steve, in the pantheon of indictments about a football team, that's in the top three. Taking plays off. What are you saying about the players on the roster? What are you saying about the coaching staff that's supposed to get these guys ready to play hard for 70 snaps on either side of the ball?
And Sage,
I don't get it.
Sage, it's not just taking plays off. That's bad enough. He said getting a lead and taking plays off. So you might almost give a few guys a break if you're down 21 in the fourth quarter and you see guys taking a few plays off, making some business decisions with the game out of reach. But Bowles is talking about getting a lead, taking a plays off, and losing games.
He's got to be talking about Atlanta. Certainly he's got to be talking about the Atlanta game. You know, that's the one that jumps to mind.
Well, but there's others.
There's others. There's others. And he makes a point, Steve, which is a true point. They won the close games
early, yeah.
Or early before the bye. And they lost a lot of close games afterwards. Close losses don't matter, Steve. You don't get any brownie points for close losses. I always go back to that Miami game, Steve. I just can't get that game out of my mind. You were there. And I saw a Dolphin team that had nothing to play for, that played with a lot more enthusiasm. If I'm the Glazers, I'm looking at that game. I'm watching that game film every day. Every day. And wondering, what the hell were we doing that day with the playoffs on the line? So, I don't get it.
All right, so Ira, so you bring that up. So at least you do agree with me, even though Bowles didn't say, hey, we quit too often in games. He said, we got to learn how to finish instead of getting a lead and just taking plays off. I think it's number two on your indictment. So I know you ranked it number three. But okay, we had Yaya Diaby telling T-Kraz right here on WDAE, the Bucks. In general, you watch our film, and it looks like we got no juice. The guys don't love football enough. Okay, you combine that with Baker Mayfield's kind of backhanded shots about the offense, and it makes you wonder, and we brought this up on your podcast that people listen to on the iHeartRadio app, Team Glazer, back in April with me in Phoenix.
I can't believe I remembered those lines. I remembered them, Steve.
In the lobby in the corner of the giant lobby there of the Biltmore Resort.
And you standing right next to him.
I'm sitting there. We're sitting down. All right? We're relaxing. I'm talking to Team Glazer, asking him about Todd Bowles, and very, very comfortably and with enthusiasm.
And this was after the decision they had made, obviously, to keep Bowles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Glazer says, quote, you see week in and week out, this team plays hard for Todd Bowles and nobody lays down. That's what Joel Glazer looked in my face and said. And he said, you'll have, quote, you'll have the odd game where things don't quite go your way.
Like the Rams game or something. Yeah, yeah.
But every game till the final whistle, these players are fighting, fighting, fighting. End quote from Joel Glazer.
You got to wonder what he's thinking after what we've heard in the last month.
Why did he say that? Why did he say that if Bowles is admitted?
I think he was trying to justify keeping Bowles at that point. They had made the decision to keep him, and they had to give the fans a reason why they kept him.
Why not just?
So they thought the Bucks were competitive week in, week out.
Why didn't ownership justify it through injuries? He's ownership. He doesn't have to be the head coach who doesn't want to blame injuries. Owner could have said, look, we had a million injuries and we're 8-9. If this team was even average healthy, we're a 10-win team.
Like Light has hinted.
Yeah.
Like Light has hinted.
So why didn't they go that route?
They could have.
You think maybe the ownership doesn't know what they're watching? Is that possible? I'm not saying it is. I'm asking you.
I think they're pretty good football people. You know, they're not X's and O's experts, but they've seen a lot of football over the years. They used to be Dolphin fans before they bought the Bucks. They know what good football teams look like, Steve. Maybe Joel really believed it. But, Steve, the stuff we've heard during OTAs from almost a variety of sources, from coaches down to players and observers, you know, they're at odds with what Joel Glazer said that day in March.
And, you remembered that very astutely.
I did.
And I went back and pulled up the quotes, and it's kind of stunning. You know, it was like this past week was truth week at One Buck. You know, the truths that we wait for slowly started to
I'm
going to
tell you
out.
Why I remembered that quote, Steve. I wouldn't have remembered it.
Because it was so astonishing?
No. No, because I write up the Bucks preview for Lindy's magazine every year, and they want the copy right after the draft. And as a matter of fact, I just saw the magazine last week in my supermarket, so it's now on the stands. Lindy's Pro Football Report. Anyway, I wrote the Bucks preview, And
are you
got,
selling magazines? Now,
they've got top writers from across the league. Sort of an overview. Where were they and where are they going? I only used one quote in the overview.
That was it.
And it was the quote that you gave me from Joel Glazer. So it stuck in my mind because I knew he said week in and week out how hard they play. And then when we're hearing all these other things, that actually accentuated my memory that, yeah, he said the exact opposite in late March.
We're still analyzing, still figuring out. It's kind of what we do at Joe Bucks Fan. We're always trying to find answers because that helps us predict the future. And, you know, there are a lot of 10-win predictions out there for the Bucks right now. Just about to hit his 10th year anniversary at Joe Bucks Fan. I know you're expecting gifts, Ira, and they're forthcoming.
It's been a fantastic experience. We have a winning mindset, Steve, at Joe Bucks Fan.
We don't take
plays well. And apparently, the 25 Bucks had a losing mindset. I mean, it's really incredible. All these things that are coming out. Maybe it started with Levante David admitting that he himself took plays off. I mean, if Levante David's taking plays off, well, what's Servasio Dennis going to do?
It is stunning, as we talked about. Todd Bowles admitting this week the Bucks took plays off with a lead, and it cost them.
We're starting to get answers about why they collapsed after the bye week. That's what's coming out, and it's not acceptable.
Yeah, it's totally unacceptable. And you know, I don't know, as a Bucks fan, which we are fans, I speak for myself. I'm not even sure how to feel about that. I understand why fans wanted Todd Bowles out, but now we're getting more details. And again, it comes back to, can the team overcome whatever leadership brought them to the point where they're taking plays off with a lead late in games?
Now we know why they overhauled the front seven on defense. There's no mystery anymore.
Yeah, and it really calls into question the other guys that Bowles has labeled and teammates have labeled the leaders of the defense, Vita Vea, Antoine Winfield. This is going on their watch. So
Levante David.
Levante David, he retired and he talked about it. So we're turning over a new leaf, but we'll see. It's a big crossroads season for the Bucks. Vita Vea, Ira, what do you make of him and his desire to get a new contract and sort of do a hold-in and not participate in practice? You think that's no big deal, or you think he might actually push that to the limit?
Look, Steve.
With a holdout and whatnot.
Steve, I think the jury's very much out on whether Vita Vea is going to be here in 2027. I think much depends on what kind of year the Bucks have. If the Bucks don't make the playoffs, I think he's very vulnerable. He'll get one more contract, but it may not be in Tampa.
Is he on the trade block? Let's say they get off to a challenging start, and let's say he pulled a two-week holdout, and they get off to a challenging start, and Light gets a call, hey, you want to move Vea for a third-round pick? You don't want him, Jason, next year. You're not going to pay him. We'll take him. We want to win this year.
That's kind of throwing the yellow flag up in the air, Steve, at that point.
Suppose Kancey's playing out of his mind. Robinson is solid.
I mean,
and Bane is the real deal.
And they still got Rochus, as a backup.
Nacho, yeah.
Look, Vea is a fan favorite. He does allow other guys to do their thing because they send so many resources at him. I would just say I don't think this is a serious impasse. I think his agent has to realize he's under contract. Are you going to give up the money that you're making this year and not play? He's going to play, and if he has a good year, he's going to get one more big deal because there aren't a lot of similar defensive tackles in this league to Vita Vea. This could very well be his last year in Tampa. I would not be surprised.
Yeah, and some of it I think is tied to Yaya Diaby because the way these front offices look, they're always looking at how much money are we going to invest at certain positions, and then it's always how much do we invest in the front seven.
You got the Mayfield factor.
And forgetting about Mayfield even, they're looking at it positionally speaking, this side of the ball, that side of the ball. Yaya, sure, he's entering a contract year. Edge rushers like Yaya are making $18, $20 million because they're not in the top tier. But if he takes a step this year, the Bucks are looking at a lot of money. And I don't think they want to give Yaya money this summer and extend him early. A stat that the Bucks put out, Ira, on Yaya Diaby, a little bit eye-opening. I'm going to ask you this. Per the Bucks, 7 players since 2008 have had 12 or more tackles for loss in each of their first 3 seasons. Okay, 7 guys in the last 18 years have had 12 or more tackles for loss in their first 3 years. I'm going to read you the names. Max Crosby, Aaron Donald, Khalil Mack, Micah Parsons, J.J. Watt, and Yaya Diaby.
Now, wait a minute. That's the kind of research that Jason Light might want a new research department because you just created the argument for Yaya's agent in 2027. Hey, pony up. And he's a good player, Steve. He might be better against the run than he is as a pass rusher. He's a good all-around player. And I think they under no circumstances do they want him to leave, I think. They got to pay him. I think his best days ahead of him. I do. We'll see what Bain, what impact Bain can have on
him. I think so, but to a degree, Yaya has also been playing. The argument with Yaya is, you know, what's he going to do with someone on the other side of him if he has a better edge rusher? Okay. But the other half of the argument is he's been playing alongside a top-tier defensive tackle monster pass rusher who draws double teams, Vita Vea. So I don't know. I'm not sure where Yaya is. But if he stays healthy this year, we're going to find out exactly what he's all
Steve,
about.
Steve, in terms of pass rush, when you're going up against the Bucs and you're the offensive coordinator of the other team, you're going to worry about Hassan Reddick or you're going to worry about Yaya Diaby coming off the edge. So I think he could have a big year. I think he could hit double-digit sacks this year.
If he does, then they're looking at paying him way more than they would pay Vea.
He's not T.J. Watt. There's a happy medium.
Right, but the salaries are going crazy, and if he's a 10-sack guy on the rise, I don't know where their investment lines are in the sand are. So it's that stat is pretty stunning. The Vea situation is interesting, and look how much the Bucs have loaded up on line talent. So, you know,
hats off to the Bucs research team over there, Steve. And by the way, I have a message from Jason Light. Mind your own business, team. We don't need any nonsense from Yaya Diaby.
And, you know, people who think agents don't pick up on that stuff, I'll tell you a quick story. Back in 2015, I wrote a story about how Dirk Cutter is about to be...
Cutter's first year as head coach.
No, he's offensive coordinator for Lovie Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Dirk Cutter is about to become, I think it was the second or third coach in history to have a top 10 offense with three different teams.
I remember you harping on that.
It didn't take long for me to hear from Dirk Cutter's agent saying, hey, I'm Dirk Cutter's agent. Could you give me some more information about that? Where'd you get that? And what do you got on that? And I said, I didn't get it from anywhere. I did the homework myself. Took a while.
That's a lot of homework.
It was a fair amount, but I did it over several weeks. I didn't like do it all in one night. And so he was very appreciative, and then he gave me some dirt on Cutter.
And then a year later, Cutter's the head coach.
And the agent had actually reached out to the Bucs asking for my phone number. They do pay attention to this stuff. So the Bucs unearthing that, hey... You're
going to do something on Zach Robinson at the end of the season, Steve?
I don't know. Zach Robinson, man, a lot to prove for that guy. You know, and that goes back to Bowles, because the crazy thing is, Robinson, there's no doubt in anybody's mind that he wants to become a head coach. So the Bucs will be dealing with that situation if they have success this year, which they should. He's from that Sean McVay tree. He didn't get a sniff last time. But somehow, it would be wonderful if the Bucs could avoid that situation with Robinson. It's just the price of doing business with a defensive head coach like Todd Bowles. But I would love to see him get creative, find some sort of way to not have that happen. And, of course, I know legions of fans are driving around hoping, hey, let him have a great year and replace Todd Bowles.
You know, twice Bowles has gone outside the walls of one Buck to name a new offensive coordinator. Both times it kind of worked out. Cone, of course, a lot more than
the others. Canales, yeah, than Grizzard, sure.
Yeah, more than Canales, but Grizzard was in-house.
Yeah.
Look, Robinson's got a track record, Steve. What I like about Robinson is maybe he's not quite as good as Cone in this regard. He knows how to scheme up the run game. And I think that was a big thing that was missing last year under Grizzard. Big, big thing.
Yeah, and I hope there's more of a simplicity to it, you know, an artful simplicity. If the offensive line is healthy, it shouldn't be that challenging.
Now, Bijan Robinson is a unique talent, Steve. He's probably the best running back in football. You know, Gainwell's a nice player, but he's not in that category.
Sure, and I think the Tyler Algier had success there as well. So I think people would point to that more than they'd point to Robinson.
And the Buck offensive line's better than Atlanta's. Atlanta's decent. The Bucs, I think, could be elite.
Absolutely, Ira. The attitude at One Buck is all about health right now. Todd Bowles kind of made that clear, talking about how they avoided soft tissue injuries this spring. And
you got Morrison.
I understand. He said he largely avoided them, and they did different things with the new strength and conditioning boss. Not just working harder, sometimes working less, sometimes working harder. They very much tweaked this. And Jason Light, in that interview I referenced earlier, spoke about this week as well, that health is a constant priority. They're constantly looking to tweak things to avoid those injuries.
How's that going to impact what kind of training camp they're going to have? Is it going to be a soft training camp, or are they going to try to instill a killer mentality?
Well, I think they want to do both. Like, maybe they do it in shorter spurts. I don't know. Health is definitely a top priority at $1. I can speak to that from conversations I've had, but health, that doesn't mean, you know, having ballet class instead of practice. So,
you know, they crashed back to earth health wise last year, Steve, because, you know, Buck fans didn't like it when I mentioned it. But for years, especially the O-line.
Yeah, you jinxed everybody.
Yeah, I jinxed everybody. They got hit last year.
Yeah,
no,
the O-line was healthy for years. And hopefully,
but the quarterback plays 17 games, Steve. He plays 17
games.
He
sure does. And he's obviously very sensitive about that.
Yes, he does.
Very sensitive that he doesn't want to even hear that he needs to change his game to be more durable because he's been out there every game. So I agree with Mayfield.
I agree with Mayfield, too.
Todd Bowles has said maybe a couple of plays here and there. If it's third and nine, we don't care if it's third and four. Just get down.
Is McDermott telling Josh Allen stop running? Yeah, you know, it's a big part of the guy's game. Now, Mayfield, you know, he's a thrower more than a runner.
I mean, in Buffalo, you could argue they're paying him to run.
I don't want to put any guardrails around Baker Mayfield.
Well, if you're the Glazers, you will. If you give him $150 million, you want to put a couple of guardrails around.
Are you still on board? He'll have a contract before training camp.
When did I start saying that, Ira?
Months ago.
How many? 8 months? 9 months?
You might have been ahead of the curve.
That's where the Bucks are at, and we'll see if they can finish it off. Ira, you've been covering this team since 1985. Raise the Flags documentary star. Threatening retirement yet again. The man does it every year. He's like Brett Favre over here. We're presented by Bill Curry Ford, where you can get the Ira Kaufman discount. Just ask General Manager Sean Sullivan for that. BillCurryFord.com. That's where you find all of their great offers for the month of June. Lease offers, purchase offers, great financing, and an incredible used selection. And you can schedule mobile service at your home or take advantage of the largest service department in Florida. That's right at Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of the stadium. Since 1960, family-owned, now a third- and fourth-generation family-operated dealership, BillCurryFord.com. All right, Ira, look, we're in the home stretch here. It's going to be an interesting offseason. There's a big announcement coming as it relates to on the business side of things. We are still nailing it down from our end, but it's something that literally tens of thousands of fans will be paying attention to.
I'm also waiting for an announcement, should we get one, and we'd better get one, about the Ring of Honor for 2026. Where's the announcement? Who's going in? Are we going to skip the year again?
You're right. It usually has come by now. We had that, or a lot of times we get it right before training camp, and then they'll bring in the guy for a little preliminary thank you news conference.
Yeah, you normally do it before training camp.
Yeah, and in past years, I know that, like, first week in training camp, John Gruden had his news conference at $1 announcing the Ring of Honor, and then he went in that year in, like, November or something. So we'll see. I have a feeling it's going to be Brad Johnson. Based on observing past Ring of Honor ceremonies, you had Brad Johnson for Simeon Rice right on the field, essentially right there with him accepting the Ring of Honor. Now, maybe Simeon Rice invited him. Maybe they have a very close relationship. But I have a feeling the Glazers invited him. And why would you invite a guy who probably deserves the Ring of Honor to be right there for the ceremony, right there, and then not put him in?
You know, Steve, we've been talking a lot the last few podcasts about Buck players losing focus and taking plays off and not being mentally and physically tough enough. Brad Johnson played hurt in 2002, had a serious back injury. Mystery of four games down the stretch, comes back for the playoffs. And the one thing people forget about the 0-2 team, absolutely driven by one of the all-time great defenses. I'm not going to argue that point. But the Buck offense, Steve, in the postseason, three games, it was very good. It was very good. And Brad Johnson at the controls, ripped San Francisco to shreds, played well in Philly, tough circumstances against a hell of a defense. And, you know, look, obviously five interceptions against the Raiders, all those defensive touchdowns. But Brad Johnson was very effective. I believe his first pass was intercepted in the Super Bowl. But after that, he made some plays. Brad Johnson was the right guy at the right time for that 0-2 team to be under center. He didn't have a Hall of Fame career. But if he was in the Ring of Honor, I would not argue against it. I would not.
Super Bowl quarterback, and it wasn't like he was a fill-in guy. This wasn't
This wasn't Trent Dilfer, yeah. You know, with the Ravens.
Or a Jeff Hostetler type filling in at the last minute for the Giants, or Nick Foles. I think he's worthy from that standpoint. But, hey, well, hopefully we do get one. Skipping a year of the Ring of Honor is It's ridiculous. Why make these guys wait if they're deserving? And there's plenty of guys out there.
The message you're sending is nobody's viable when you do that.
Which isn't true. So, you know, I mean, they made Simeon Rice wait another year. I'm not sure why. Ira, Todd Bowles, a few things to say this week. One, he said he expects David Walker full go.
Who?
Exactly. Fourth round pick last year. Blew his knee out. But the Bucs are still crazy excited about this guy as an edge rusher. They expect him full go training camp and that he's been looking full go the last week. So more fun.
I don't know where he fits in, Steve. If guys stay healthy.
I don't know what he looks like. I mean, he's never finished a practice.
But Muhammad is a situational pass rusher. You know, you got Bain. You got Diaby. You're not pulling Kancey off the field. Look, he might be quality depth. He might be. I'm not knocking him. But I'm glad they're not counting on him.
I'm curious to see if they're going to let him play special teams, because after all, they've pretty much said he's a Super Bowl cog. Not all those guys play special teams, you know, as far as risk of injury. Todd Bowles also said this week, Sage, that Josiah Trotter can moonlight at outside linebacker. That's how excited Bowles is about these rookies. He's talking about Reuben Bain like he's an instant Pro Bowler, and he might be. Now Trotter, who is an inside linebacker, a run stuffer, he's talking about him playing on the edge.
You know, Steve, I've heard this for so many years now with the Bucks. It's a song I've heard played too many times at one Buck place. This goes back before Todd Bowles even got here. But, Steve, you know, this guy can play multiple positions. We don't know where to play the guy. And most of the time, it doesn't work out. Remember that guy, Deion Buchanan? Hey, he's a hybrid. He's a linebacker. He's a safety. You know what? He couldn't play. They got him from Arizona. Remember,
yeah.
Steve?
Yeah, he couldn't play. Aliens, yeah.
Let Trotter do what Trotter does. He's a run stuffer and a good tackler, and let him do his thing. Yeah, then if you don't want him on the field on a third and eight, yank him. You're not taking Anzalone out on a passing down. He's good against the pass.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly regarding Anzalone. He's known for playing the pass. He can do it all.
Didn't Light call him maybe the best cover linebacker in the league, or somebody called him that? It might have been Light. I can't
He's
remember.
A different kind of guy than what they've had before, because he's a legit 6'2", 235. Lavonte David was playing at 215, 216.
So he's a thumper. He's a thumper.
So he can do it all, and he covers exceptionally well. He's hoping to blitz, but Bowles talks about blitzing everybody. So, like you said, there's a lot of this. He can do it all for every single player, but we know they all can't do it all. But there's a lot of optimism around that front seven.
You get the sense that Bowles, I don't like the word tweak. I'm talking about change. You think Bowles is thinking about changing the scheme, given all these new players and trying to figure out what their strengths are and playing to their strengths? When I asked Bowles about it, he came up with the word tweak. I'm looking for a change.
Well, I would hope he'd be open-minded to it, because you're supposed to be open-minded to what your players can do, but the core remains the same.
But they could have five new starters on defense, Steve. They could.
They could, but you're still looking at the core, that defensive line core, is very similar. And the secondary, you know, there's a mindset at one Buck that, hey, we've got a young secondary and we got question marks, and that's exactly how we won the Super Bowl in 2020. The Bucks were the first team in more than a decade to win the Super Bowl without a Pro Bowl defensive back, current or prior. You'd have to go back 15 years before that. Remember when that Gravediggers nickname came out? Those guys were angry as a unit because NFL Network ranked them as the 32nd best cornerbacks unit in the league going into 2020. So they just aren't worried about the question marks.
That team was pass rush centric,
yeah,
right, Steve?
Exactly.
They relied on the pass rush. And I hope we get back to that, because if that's the case, this young secondary would look a lot better, Steve.
Yeah, and it's not like those guys didn't play well in 2020. The point at one Buck is that, hey, we've had question marks of the secondary before. They almost feel like they have fewer question marks this year than they did back then.
So Winfield
then
didn't make the Pro Bowl as a rookie?
No.
Not as a rookie?
No.
Okay.
And
okay.
They didn't have any washed-up Pro Bowler on the roster or anything like that. So, and we're not talking Super Bowl secondary this year, but they should be able to be good enough. Look, comes back to Ira. If this defense is a middle-of-the-pack defense, all of a sudden the team gets a lot better. And if you can't do that, Todd Bowles, you should be on
that's a great point, Steve.
The next bus out of town.
Middle-of-the-pack defense. Give me number 14. Give me number 15. And I'm talking more about points scored rather than yards. You want to give up yards and tighten up in the red zone? I'm okay with that. Their red zone defense wasn't very good.
It's all about points scored and, of course, turnovers. You got to at least get a reasonable amount of turnovers. I'm not talking differential necessarily, but you got to make some plays. Okay. All right, Sage, what are you doing this weekend? What's what do you got planned?
It's Father's Day, Steve.
I know.
It's Father's Day.
What's
getting
going
a new set of golf clubs. I'm looking for something to help me. I want a little bit more distance, but I want more accuracy. And I think I'm going to pick up a couple of lobsters, Steve. Nothing wrong with lobsters for Father's Day. A little baked potato, corn on the cob. Lobsters aren't cheap, Steve, but I got a seafood place.
You boil them?
They might give me a
grill them or boil them?
Right in the boiling water. I don't think twice about it. My wife takes a picture. She's disgusted. And I got a big smile on my face.
So, and your son's, didn't he mail you a hot tub 2 years ago?
I believe he did. It's got a leak in it. We got to get it attended to. But lobsters are coming to Casa Kaufman. Lobsters coming. Are you available for Father's Day, Steve? I might get an extra lobster for you. You and your wife share a lobster.
I'm not sure what they've got planned for me. We'll see. We'll see. All right, Ira, look,
No movies.
No movie review this time, which that was getting a little old.
I will tell you this, though. We're looking around for something to watch on television. There isn't much. So, Steve, I'm doing a little binging. I've already seen all the episodes. We're doing it again. We're doing it again in order. Breaking Bad, Steve. One of the all-timers. Breaking Bad. Bryan Cranston, crystal meth. It's right up your alley.
All right, there you go. Sage recommendation, lobster and Breaking Bad. What is this, 2012 or something? All right, Sage, we will see you next week.